Good morning. I came across a family photo this week that I want to share with you. I'm not quite sure who these people are. They're not my family, but as you can tell, they are people who love their pet. I don't know what's going on in this family or what their particular needs are, but one thing I know is that we need to pray for them. These are people who decided to take a family photo and dress up just like their dog. And it's not just them who need help. Look at the dog's eyes. Those are puppy dog eyes. He's saying, "Isn't there something you can do for me? Can't you get me out of here?" All right, that's enough of that. Today we are not talking about dogs or about owners who dress up like their dogs, but we are talking about prayers of intercession. Intercessory prayers are prayers on behalf of somebody else. It means praying to God and bringing someone else's needs, someone else's concerns, and someone else's life into God's presence. And today I want to explore this topic with you as we look again at Scripture and as we consider our own life situations. As we begin today, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a story I want to tell you today about a man named Father Siloin, who was a Russian monk who died in 1938. I want to tell you this story because it helps us to see a lot of what intercessory prayer is all about. For years, Father Siloin lived in a monastery in Greece on Mount Athos. And he worked in those years. He led one of the monastery workshops. And the people who worked in these workshops were not monks. They were young Russian peasants who were visiting there for just a year or two. And in that year or two, these young Russians would try to save up as much money as they could so that they would be able to return to their homes and their villages, maybe to get married, or to build a small house, or to buy some seeds for a field and start out as a farmer. And one day, some of the other monks came up to Father Siloin and they asked him, "How is it that the people who work in your workshop work so hard and yet you never supervise them? We spend all of our time keeping a close eye on our people because they are constantly trying to cheat us and take advantage of us. Tell us, what is your secret?" And so he told them. He said, "When I come in the morning, I never come without having first prayed for these people. And I have my heart filled with compassion for them. I give them a task to work on, and as long as they work on it, I pray for them. For example, I will say to God, 'Oh Lord, remember Nicholas. He's young, only 20. And his wife, who is left back in his village, is younger than he is. She's there with their first child. Imagine the misery that they are in back at home without him to support them. Protect them, shield them against all evil, and help Nicholas, give him the courage to work hard during this year that he might return to them with enough money to start a new life.'" So this is how Father Siloin would spend his days, praying for his workers, for their needs, and for the difficulty of their lives. What an amazing thing it is for us to know that someone is praying for us. What an effect it can have on our lives when we know someone else is praying for us. I got a text message the other day from an old friend. It just said, "I'm praying for you today." What good news that is. What an encouragement to us to know someone cares enough to pray. Praying has been a form of mutual Christian encouragement since the very beginning of our faith. We remember that Jesus prayed for his disciples. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul constantly writes to churches and asks them to pray for him. And he also reminds them that he is praying for them as well. In the passage we read today, he writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you." So prayer is a form of encouragement, but it's also an expression of love. Richard Foster writes that if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than is within our power to give to them, and that will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. Intercession is a way of loving others. Praying on behalf of someone else is a way of showing them love. Five powerful words that you can say to somebody are, I will pray for you. To tell someone that you will pray for them is essentially to say, I love you. I care about you enough to take a moment or a minute or a little time out of my busy day to intercede with God on your behalf. Is it any wonder then that Father Siloan's workers worked so hard? Not only were they encouraged by his prayers, but they also knew that he loved them. So no longer do they see themselves as simply replaceable cogs in some large industrial machine, but instead, by his prayers, they came to see themselves as beloved. These prayers were part of what formed them into a community of love, a community of prayer. And by now, this maybe starts to sound a little bit familiar to you, because here at the church, here at PPC, we are also a community of love, and that love is expressed week by week through prayer. When we share our joys and concerns together, we are not just sharing the random events from our lives. Instead, we are saying those five powerful words, will you pray for me? I will pray for you. One Quaker writer named Rufus Jones says that if we believe in the real kingdom of God, an organic fellowship of interrelated lives, that we are then in a love system, which where the aspiration of one member heightens the entire group, and the need of one, even the least, draws upon the resources of the whole. So one of our key resources is prayer. We pray for others to encourage them and also to express our love for them. But that's not all. Because some will say, well, I'm not really into all this prayer stuff. Why should we pray for somebody? Isn't it better, wouldn't you say, just to treat them well, to show them respect, to treat them the way we would want to be treated, rather than spending our time praying? And that's a good question. It was the exact same outlook that the other monks in our story had, the ones who came to talk to Father Siloam. They weren't bad people. They wanted to be fair. They wanted to have a good relationship with their workers. But the truth was that they didn't. They were constantly at odds with those young Russian peasants who worked for them. And by contrast, Father Siloam was not, and they wondered why. Did his workshop have better equipment, they wondered. Did he observe casual Friday with them? Did they have team t-shirts made up? What was his secret? Maybe his workers were the good ones and they were left with all the bad eggs. Could that be it? Maybe Father Siloam was just a saint. You know, a better kind of person than all the rest of us. But that wasn't it. The only difference between these two workshops was that Father Siloam prayed for his people. One of the outcomes of intercessory prayer, when we take time to lift up someone else's life and their concerns, their failings and their hopes, their dreams and their needs, all the rest of this before God, what happens when we pray for others is that we start to see them in a new way. It's hard to be hard-hearted toward people we pray for. Amen? It's hard to be hard-hearted toward someone after you've prayed for them. Father Siloam's secret was intercessory prayer. It not only encouraged his workers and let them know he cared for them, but as he prayed for them day by day, he began to see them with more compassion than he would have otherwise. Think with me for a moment about someone in your own life. Maybe someone you would be willing to pray for. Not the people you love, not your family and friends, but a coworker who gets on your nerves. Or a member of your family who always seems to pick a fight. Or maybe a political party with whom you strongly disagree. You know which one it is. Now, what would happen if you started to pray for those people or for that group? Maybe every day or every week or just once in a while. What would happen in you having prayed when you then looked and saw those people in your life? I don't mean praying that they would come around and start to see things from your point of view, or that they would stop dressing up like their pets. What I mean is that by praying on their behalf, by carrying their needs to God, and some of their concerns and fears and needs, that in intercessory prayer, we would be changed as well. You see, in intercessory prayer, we walk with someone into the very presence of God, and we stand at their side, and we present a case. We speak up on their behalf. In doing so, we begin to see people differently and even to interact with them differently. We start treating them better. That's the secret. That's what Father Siloam discovered. But this is where it can start to be a little bit scary to us, because intercessory prayer, by its very nature, is very active. We are interceding. We are actively inserting ourselves into someone else's life, presenting their needs before God. But what happens? What happens if our prayers are not good enough? Or what if we forget to pray one day? Or what if we fall asleep while we pray? What then? When the Apostle Paul writes to his friends in the Philippian church, he starts out by telling them that he's praying for them. But the next thing he says, what he goes on to say is, I am confident in this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't talking about himself or his work or his prayers. He's talking about the work of Christ Jesus. The context for all of our prayers and our intercessions before God is the ongoing and perfect intercession of Jesus. Because it is Jesus Christ, as Paul reminds us, who died for us, and who rose for us, and who reigns in power for us, and who prays for us. It is Jesus who is our chief mediator between God and humankind. It is Jesus who is able to intercede on our behalf perfectly. It's not our doing, it's the work of the Lord. So this is really good news for us. I hope you'll hear it that way today. Because with Christ as our mediator, as the one who ultimately intercedes on our behalf, it frees us for a faithful response. It's not heavy, it's light. We are allowed then to pray on other people's behalf, to lift them up to God simply because we care for them, to express our love for them, to encourage them. I wonder who you might want to encourage this week through your prayers. Remember those five powerful words, I will pray for you. Who can you say that to this morning? Who can you get in touch with this week to let them know? I'm praying for you. I'm encouraging you. I'm with you in spirit, and I'm lifting you before God. Prayer develops in us a heart for other people, one that we don't have on our own. Prayer encourages those who hear of it. Prayer is a sign of love for one another. In all of these things, we humbly remember that our intercession and our prayers are always partial. They're always incomplete. They're always imperfect in some way. And that's why we trust in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He is the one who has made a way for us forever. Forever. To be in a right relationship with our neighbors and with our God. Amen.